This is strictly a C technology, C testing presentation, because that's what I do now. It's quite a shift from what I did before, but because I'm part of the plant pest diagnostics branch, we're basically, that's all we do, C testing and C technology, and part of our mandate is to solve C testing problems and to develop new testing methodology. So that's what I'm going to be talking about. So again, the question is, can poor seed quality be related to specific production factors through seed testing? And the previous two speakers made their strong case that yes, it can, and of course it can, there's no question about that. But I approach the problem from another point of view. My objectives for this presentation are basically to describe the research strategy regarding seed vigor testing, and that's something we, again, we have a lot of farmers and obviously vegetable seeds, and they are always demanding new ways and better ways and more appropriate and ways of correlating vigor testing to what happens in the field. So we're always under stress to do that. That's one objective. The other is to highlight the need for an overlooked aspect of seed testing, and that's what I call diagnostics, and that's basically the black hole of seed testing, as we'll see in a minute. And finally, I'll describe some particular vigor tests that we have, well, I shouldn't say developed, that we are in the process of developing, because this whole project that's related to vigor testing started like 2 years ago, and we're still getting the results. So if you look at seed, if there's a deficient seed production factor, that's it's easily related to poor quality, the resultant poor quality, and that's identified by tests or by observation. But there's another way of looking at the relationship of seed quality to production factors, and that's from the other side of the equation. So if you're testing seed and it has poor seed quality based on your tests and it shows specific symptoms, abnormalities, and so on, and you don't know the history of the seed lot, can you, based on this results of this test, determine or predict the causal production factor? And that's what we call diagnostics. And in most cases, the answer to that is no. We don't have diagnostic tests in seed technology as we'd like to do. Basically, if you go to a doctor and you have fever, you know, you'd expect the doctor to run diagnostic tests and tell you what's wrong with the fever, what's causing the fever. We don't have that in seed testing. And like I said, that's a black hole. Simple example. If you have zinc deficiency, you read through the literature, there are a lot of effects of zinc deficiency on seed quality. Many reports indicate that seedling root abnormalities are one cause, consequence of zinc deficiency. So if you're testing your seeds, common vetch and melon, and you get something like that, and you already know that the field was deficient in zinc for whatever reason, you can tell that this is a result of this production factor. But again, if you start with this, if you're testing wheat and you get a lot of abnormal root development, you cannot deduce that this was due to zinc deficiency, basically because zinc deficiency is just one factor that produces abnormal roots, and there are a lot of other factors. I'm not going to go through them. I just want to impress upon you the fact that the equation doesn't work equally in both directions. So one diagnostic test that we know that exists is the TZ test, which is, I'm sure most or all of you know that this is a viability test, but it can also be used as a vigor test. And when it's used as a vigor test, it can be thought of as diagnostic tool, because it can determine whether you, based on the staining pattern, whether you have freeze or mechanical damage in the seeds. And it's a chapter in the vigor testing handbook by the Association of Fisheries Seed Analysts, and Sabri is one of the editors of that handbook. And it basically looks at corn, cotton, soybean, and beans. So it's a limited test. As far as I know, there is no other diagnostic test, at least in standard seed testing. There might be other, you know, research applications where diagnosis is done, but in standard or routine seed testing, there are no diagnostic tests. And basically, one reason for me for this presentation is to ask that if you're doing research, I don't think that, you know, after this presentation you're going to go and devote your life to developing the diagnostic tests. But if you're doing research and you notice that, or figure out or find that, you know, this is something that can be used in diagnostics and seed testing and seed technology, then it would be a great idea if we can know that, because we need those kinds of tests and we don't have them. So what is, having said that, most of our work is on vigor testing as a measure of quality, not in diagnostics. Our research strategy is the following. Basically, to us, seed quality is made of three components: viability, germination, and vigor. And this is not a definition of seed quality, but we look at it as three components that together make up seed quality. And this is not, you might think that this is obvious, but there's an argument for equating vigor with seed quality, assuming that the two are synonymous. And, you know, because vigor basically measures everything that seed quality is about. I'm not going to go into that. It might be a subject for future symposium if you want, but we start with this assumption. And keep in mind that normal seedlings germination is the number of normal seedlings. If something is abnormal, as far as seed and analysts are concerned, these are not non-germinable seeds. The focus of our research is on vigor tests that assess one or more of the aspects of seed germination and seedling development. So we don't look at least the focus so far, we don't look at something like the conductivity test, or tests that stress the seeds before germination and then germinate them. So we're looking at patterns of germination in a vigor test and seedling development, and that's what our focus is on. And then our hope, at least, if it hasn't happened yet, but our hope is that this information of germination patterns, and we collect a lot of information on germination patterns, and I'll give you a few examples. Those germination patterns derived from vigor testing can be used in diagnostics. And we have not done that yet, but we have some good indications. Finally, our research strategy, we accept the hypothesis that root growth, vertical, the first primary root, can be used as a universal indicator of vigor. I know that that's debatable, but there are a lot of reports. For instance, Powell and Matthews, I think in 2012, published a review article that indicates that our own work supports this hypothesis, that root growth can be used as the only criteria of looking at quality, at least in seed testing. I'm not talking from a physiological point of view. So we have a lot of systems of testing, vigor testing. So I'm going to just share with you one of the systems that has to do with using phyto-agar. We have systems that produce different combinations of temperature and drought, and we test vigor that way. We look at genetic processes that determine vigor. But as far as seed technology or seed testing, We do a lot of phytoagar as the substrate. Instead of using Kimpac, filter paper, or blotters, we started using substrate. And this is not something new. Of course, there are a lot of labs that are starting to do that. The new thing is we developed a way of pouring agar into those assemblies, and the assembly is about like 1 or 2 centimeters thick at different concentrations. And those of you who have done SDS page and other electrophoresis gels that have gradients, this is similar but not quite the same. What we do is just pour one strip that is at one concentration, then the second strip above that will be at a lower concentration, and so on. The number of strips and the range of concentrations depends on what crop we're testing. Okay? So, for instance, this is an example with cucumber. And again, we do a lot of testing that's specifically designed for vegetable, high-value seeds. So that's cucumber at time zero. And then 2 days later, and again, remember that although you cannot see it, this is a gradient strip agar. And then at 4 days, you get something like this. Now, this specific picture is just an illustration to show how different seed qualities, how seeds with different seed qualities react to this gradient agar. Of course, we don't test few seeds and do that. The actual test will look something like this, but it doesn't look good. You cannot see what's happening. So this one looks a lot better, and it allows for direct observation. Okay, so this is a 4 day, and then what we do, and again, this applies to the actual huge experiment where we have 400 seeds per treatment. We look at time of initiation of root growth, root length, both total and primary and secondary, and then root dry weight, and that's very easy to do if you're using agar as your medium as opposed to soil. And then we look at the rate of growth. All of this, if you're acquainted with ImageJ, which is a public domain software for analysis of gels, it has a plugin called Smart Root, and the Smart Root will do all of this for you with a minimum of photo editing. So we do this, and we combine them in a vigor, what we call a vigor index. And if you look, and this is the vigor index. And in this case, we correlated with field performance. Basically, we planted the same seeds in pots in soil for 4 weeks and looked at the correlation of vigor index with rate of emergence, shoot, fresh weight, and so on. All correlations were significant except fresh weight. Okay? So all of these were significant at the 1% probability level. So the next thing we did is we used what we call an adjusted vigor index. And basically, what we do here, because these are strips, and in this case, in cucumber, we have 10 strips. If we have a root that is growing and has reached the second strip, okay, the root length is adjusted by a factor of 2. We multiply that by 2. If it has reached the third strip, which is the third higher concentration, we adjust by a factor of 3. And we found out that if we account for not only the growth, but putting more weight to roots that can grow in denser and denser agar, we get better correlations. So again, if you adjust for this, how far in the more concentrated agar they grow, you get, in almost all cases except for total emergence, you get higher correlation. Not only that, if you compare the vigor index to the adjusted vigor index, there's a positive and significant increase when we did that for rate of emergence and for shoot dry weight. So this is one way of looking at, using this idea of the root as the criteria that is universally reflects quality, and then looking at development patterns of the route and combining them in a meaningful way to come up with a vigor index. Okay, so like I said, that was a vigor index. What about the diagnostics aspect? In our case, the ones with the seedlings with white arrows came from an old seed lot. So these are old seeds that have low quality, low vigor by, and we've tested them in other ways. The ones that have red arrows are seeds that were developed, the early stages of seed development were affected by high temperatures in the field. And we know that because we dealt with the farmer that produced those, and we tried to find a way to fix that, or at least select seeds from his seed lot instead of losing it all that don't have that. So as far as diagnostics, if you look at this, and again, we're not looking at just a few seedlings, we're looking at that huge, big experiment, you'll see that old seeds, they're a bit sluggish, but they go through the higher concentration gels. Okay, and here, if at this point, we're looking at something like 4 strips. So we have very narrow strips in this. Good quality seeds are the ones that don't have any arrows, and these have no problem in growing. The seeds that were stressed by high temperature during early seed development on the mother plant, they reach the second strip, which is in this experiment, it's 0.65% agar, and they stop. They grow normally, and then they stop. So whether this can be used as a diagnostic, if we don't know the history of those seeds, to tell us that this is the problem or not, it's too early to tell, because all those lots have the same genetic background. So we need to test more seeds from different genetic backgrounds, and we need to also answer the question, is this a cucurbit thing, or is this just a cucumber thing, or is this just a variety thing? So the results are encouraging as developing a diagnostic for diagnostic application, but at this point we cannot make any confident conclusions. There's another system. Instead of having those strips, we grow seeds in one treatment is at one concentration, another treatment is a higher concentration. And again, the exact concentrations depend on what we're looking at. So if you look, what we do is we set up the system and we set up photo documentation system where we take pictures every 10 minutes. And we look at the pattern of development, not only the final results of how long the seed roots are, or how many branches they have and so on, but we actually compose a time-lapse video and actually look at the pattern of development. I'm not going to show you the video because it takes a long time to load, but I'll show you what happens in 4-hour increments. I selected pictures, so it looks something like this. So when you look at that, and you have basically thousands of pictures, you get a better idea of what's happening and how they're growing. While we were doing this, we did some calculations and found out that there's something here that can be useful in terms of vigor testing. Basically, there's the ratio, if you get the average length of these seedling roots and the average length of these, and you have you divide them, you get a ratio. That ratio can be indicative by itself of seed vigor. And this is some preliminary results. We have 3 good quality seed lots. And this is the ratio of 0.65 over 0.7. Obviously, at 0.65, the roots are going to grow longer for the same period of time. So the ratio is always positive. So if you look at this, good quality is 1.31 to 1.38. And then you go into the poor quality, and then that ratio increases because you have a bigger difference between roots that grow in length at at 0.65 compared to 0.75. So what we're looking at now is this universal thing. Can we, just by looking at the ratio, in the, you know, just make definitive conclusions that this is a poor quality seed lot and this is a good quality seed lot? And what is the you know, cutoff point? So this is another way we're looking at it, and we were very happy with our results until we tried it on rice. Unfortunately, we got, this is the ratio of good quality seed lots, and it's, you know, it's lower than that of canola, but that's irrelevant. And then the poor qualities are higher, but we end up with one that looks like this. We don't know why that happened, and if that's, that means that this is a doomed approach to determining vigor, but we're going to take a look at it some more. Finally, how many minutes do I have? 20 minutes more? Thank you. Okay, I'm just going to give you an example of a diagnostic test that is rather silly, but informative of, you know, the kind of stuff we face. Like about, 1 minute. About 9 years ago, we got a big problem with lettuce in California, which is, of course, a big deal there. And we had, you know, losses or potential losses, millions of dollars, because when lettuce was grown in greenhouse, some of the varieties looked like this. Very poor emergence, if at all. This is just a border. Okay? And what we do is, what we did, we tested the quality of the seed lot, and all the tests were great. And even, you know, whether it's this lot or the other lot or, you know, whatever we tested, all the tests showed that the quality was very high. So, and the farmers were complaining that the seed companies were cheating them because the quality was not high, because when they planted, they looked like this. So after exhaustive tests, we tried one with the thermogradient table, with temperatures that go from 25 to 10. And if you look at this is the bad quality seed lot. If you look at the range from 14 to 12, nothing is happening. It looks as good as the others. It's not going to look as good as lettuce growing at 20, but it looks similar. And then when you go down to 10, you get a lot of these what the farmers thought were dead seeds. Basically, what we found out is that the coating material, when the temperature dips and it's wet, turns into cement. Has nothing to do with seed quality. And this was old seed coated that was coated outside the U.S. and imported in. And this is the kind of diagnostic test we need. Unfortunately, for this test, it has very, you know, this has never happened since then. So it has very limited application. But that's the kind of diagnostic test we're always looking at. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak more. Thank you.